The defense industry is changing thanks to maybe some stability from the Congressional Budget Agreement, but certainly from shrinking budgets at the Department of Defense. Former Navy Vice Admiral Joe Kernan's now Vice President of Business Development at SAP and National Security Services, my guest on Industry Chatter today. Joe, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Let's start with kind of a thumbnail of what you do at SAP NS2 for your clients in government.
Well, yeah, okay. I think, you know, I've been here for about 3 months now. Came out of defense, and I'm not steeped in knowledge on information technology, but what there were two really facets that attracted me here to SAP NS2, and first and foremost was the opportunity really to continue working in national security. You know, there's a lot of value here that can be provided through information technology. In this day and age, everybody contends with massive amounts of data and information, but the key is how do you leverage that massive amount of data into something that's useful to your business, or in the case here, which is useful and contributory to national security. You know, and to me, in this organization, what I found attractive was that, you know, there's some tools here, real-time data processing and high-speed analytics and cybersecurity. There's a real focus here. And so that certainly attracted me here. And what's interesting here, it's not a large company, but it's backed by we're a subsidiary of SAP, and that of course is a world-class kind of global software enterprise. But you know, the software products, you know, obviously can run businesses, which is more normal for larger SAP, but those enterprise applications, I think, can have a great applicability, you know, in terms of real-time data processing that can contribute to national security. So in a really secure environment, and obviously reliably, and so essentially in the business sense, that's one of the things that it kind of attracted me here in an area. Again, I'm not steeped in IT knowledge; I don't know it particularly well. But over the course of my career, I certainly learned the importance of information technology and how it could support national security, DOD, and kind of federal missions. That was the principal business thing that brought me here. Now, I would say there was one other thing that Mark Testoni, the president here, attracted me with, and that's a program called NS2 Serves, which is I'll always have a piece of my heart, for the veterans, and it's a great program and a real holistic program in terms of how it can serve veterans. And so again, I spent a lot of time working on that, but the idea is that we find veterans that need to work and that are willing to come and learn about information technology. So we find them, we assess them into a 3-month program here, we train them, and then we actually certify them as an SAP associate. But most importantly to me is we employ them. And the program, and we completely fund the whole program here, so they don't have to do anything but show up. And so that's why I think as a holistic program, it really stands out of many of the programs I've seen in veterans. And to keep it going, I mean, hopefully there's partners out there that will help us kind of resource the program and keep it going in the long term. And as well, people out there that are willing to hire veterans, they're going to have a really valuable technical skill in information technology with SAP. So those two areas, the national security piece, and I think the NS2 Serves veteran program, are the two most attractive things in what I spend my time on here.
Well, how is the budget environment changing the way that you see your former department, the Navy Department, but also more broadly DOD, interacting with industry and buying from industry?
Well, I think the key mechanisms will still be in place, but I think both DOD and industry can expect, there's going to be a real meticulous scrutiny over the performance of programs. Programs are just going to be they're going to have to be on time, they're going to have to be on budget, and they're going to have to meet the standard. And so collectively and collaboratively, we need to look for efficiencies. There's going to be a strict adherence, I think, to buying only the highest priority needs. Obviously, I think the department will look for more fixed priced rather than, cost plus contracting. Cost overruns are going to be less palatable. And I think there's a way we got to share the burden, I think, between industry and DOD. It was a good situation for 12 years, but now I think, industry will have to accept some kind of lower margins as well, probably to help get through these times. But I do think, candidly, I do think there's DOD and industry opportunities here. I've always believed that we in the department, we ought to be leveraging commercial off the shelf, items and as well as commercial practices. and particularly research and development. I think there's a lot of things that the commercial industry does out there in research and development that we can save money by leveraging off of that. You know, in this organization here, you know, SAP, you know, the large, our large parent company spends about $3.5 billion a year in research and development. We're here at NS2, we're going to try to leverage all of that research and bring to bear, you know, as I kind of alluded to earlier, that research and development and bear those software applications that have been developed in support of national security needs.
Joe, we hear people like Frank Kendall and others inside the Pentagon say that industry will have to take more risk, and that kind of fits with what you're talking about sharing the burden, although it sounded like you were talking more from a cost perspective and talking about margins and so on. Is that something that is fair to assume will take mostly a money or cost framework in the future, that risk sharing that people like Mr. Kendall are talking about? Or are there other ways that you would foresee companies like yours and other companies that do business with DOD taking on that risk?
Well, I do think shared risk is important, and maybe that gets to the, you know, where there is actually, you know, research and development. And for instance here, you know, we have software applications and some really unique, you know, software capabilities that can really contribute, in my mind, to national security. Well, you know, to actually make those applicable and tailored to Department of Defense, there's going to have to be investment to do that. So I think there's a shared, in this case, there would be a shared shared developmental cost between the Defense Department and industry. And there's risk there. I mean, obviously, if things don't work out particularly well in your investment in research and development, but I do think a shared cost environment in those terms would be really. I think there would be some level of expectation there. I mean, the budgets are going to be lower, you know, for sure. And I think when times are tough, you've got to collaborate more closely, work more closely, and again, share both risks, costs, and then each of us understanding the equities of business, and they understand our equities on trying to provide the best for national security.
Is that the area where you think that the relationship between DOD and the vendor community will change the most in the coming years, that risk and cost and so on, all of that sharing?
No, I think that's one of the areas that's most likely to change. I think the mechanisms are in place, you know, that we go about buying things. Now, albeit, unfortunately, the procurement cycle is systemically slow, and that hasn't changed, and I don't know that will change. But unfortunately, you know, the innovation always seems to outpace that procurement cycle in the DOD, and unfortunately, we lag. In timely access to some of the state-of-the-art opportunities, but in my mind, there's opportunities there where if we're looking together at a problem and that leveraging occurs, I mean, there's going to be cost efficiencies, I think, in that regard. And then, the services and all have to work together to make sure we're leveraging off each other and we're investing, you know, as a Defense Department in those things that are most important in national security. There's no duplication of effort. We don't buy extra spares. And I think that's part of the defense, but as well as part of industry, you know, helping us along that road to get to where we need to be, you know, with lower budgets in terms of national security.
Do you think the Pentagon is ready for that? Are they well structured to make the changes that they need to go into to do more of these kinds of partnerships, Joe?
Well, you know, it's in my mind, having been there for a while, when we were going through some of the times, you know, some of the difficult times of when sequestration was coming along, I do believe the institutional processes, you know, they do exist. But I think we have to be willing to develop, you know, quickly, so that we can, you know, make informed decisions, informed budget decisions for national security. You know, what I witnessed in terms of the sequestration, you know, when that came down upon us, nobody really believed it was going to happen. But when you're talking about a 10-20% cut in a budget, so what I observed, you know, OSD, the Joint Staff, and the services, I mean, they came together and developed a quick, adaptive, collaborative process, and they reviewed at virtually every single DOD program. And the decisions were, you know, you're going to sustain that program, you're going to reduce it, or you're going to cut it away. And so I think that, you know, I thought the department was extraordinarily adaptive in that regard. They came together, they came up with a solution. It was very collaborative. I think, service equities, you know, had to be preserved, but they also had to be left at the door in terms of, hey, what's best for the nation. So I'm kind of comfortable that I think they can do it. Now, I think what's also important, you know, to execute this plan, you know, when you really have to tighten up budget, there has to be, you know, my views, I think, you know, leadership has to be significantly involved in oversight of the decisions that they make. And they got to hold people accountable for as they lay out that plan, you know, that was meticulously and through very difficult and long sessions to develop, you know, the options for the president to, you know, to decide upon. I mean, that oversight is going to be really important and accountability is going to be really important. But I'm comfortable, you know, as slow as it moves, it will get there. And, you know, I witnessed actually the department very adaptive to come up with a solution, a difficult solution, in the right amount of time.
You're actually selling yourself a little short there, Admiral, because you didn't just see the department do it. We'll talk about the seat that you had to watch the department do that when we come back from the break and talk about how that informs the work that you're doing now. My guest is Joe Kernan, retired Navy Vice Admiral and now Vice President of Business Development at SAP NS2, and we'll be back in just a minute on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. My guest on Industry Chatter today is Joe Kernan, Vice President of Business Development for SAP NS2. And I teased you a little bit before the break that you maybe were selling yourself a little short as you talked, Joe, about the seat that you had, as you described it, to watch what was going on in the last several years in the Department of Defense. You weren't just somebody who happened to be in the building. Your last assignment was as Deputy Commander of Southern Command, and before that you served as a Senior Military Advisor to Defense Secretary Gates. So you were up close and personal with a lot of the issues that the Defense Department has gone through in the last couple of years. How does seeing what you saw at the level of closeness and clarity that you saw it inform the way that you fulfill your role now on the industry side?
It was a very extraordinarily unique experience. You know, my opinion of Secretary Gates, we know he was an extraordinary public servant that served for over 40 years. And then, you know, just being close to him and sitting in on a multitude of meetings and seeing the processes kind of take place, and certainly what informed him, obviously, was, you know, a guy that's a director of the CIA, president of Texas A&M, and running the Defense Department has an extraordinary perspective. But the one thing I will say, you know, what I certainly learned from him, in all of the processes that went in place and all the decisions that he had to make and all the development of courses of action for the president, he was very, very inclusive. He solicited perspective and input from everybody across the department and the services, contrarian and otherwise. He was very, very adamant about making informed decisions, and he liked to develop a multitude of courses of action. You know, by trade he's an analyst, so he was pretty good at doing that. So I think that was one thing. I mean, I just watched the way he, you know, functioned and worked. And again, I think he was very, very gracious, leader in that regard, but he was very serious and very thoughtful. And again, what informs me here is the way he very willingly, despite his many, many years of service, took information and took input from virtually anybody, and he always gave them the opportunity to input and he listened to that before he'd make a decision. Because, very candidly, a number of decisions and a number of perspectives he gained came from places you might not ever expect. Sometimes from young 25-year-old kids on a battlefield, he would learn something from them that would help drive a decision. So I think that was, that mentality was, certainly proliferated across the Department of Defense. And again, I think people appreciated that, you know, that he was very open and very receptive to perspective and he was thoughtful. And then he would explain to everybody why he made a decision. And I think that's important as well. And then they're inclusive. If you include people in the decision, you know, they're very more likely to carry out with it. And people in the military understood that, I think. And in an overview perspective, I think that's probably one of the things I observed and watched. The other thing I would say that, you know, it's important for someone in that position, you know, he would be the first one to say that he's not a diplomat and he's not a politician. His decisions were all driven, in my personal opinion, and watching for 2 years, were all driven in terms of what's the best for national security, what's the best for the men, women, and families who serve on the battlefield. And I think that perspective was really unique. It was about a mission, and he developed courses of action, and as well, what I thought was important, I don't know that anybody respected the office of the president more than he did, and he understood, and he just wanted to got involved in debates, and when the decision was made by the president, we carried on with the decision.
That seeing what you saw that close up must have an effect on the way that you think about what you're doing for the company that you're working for now, too, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think that, there's realities of bureaucracy, and some things you can change and some things you can't change. And so, on this side, understanding that there's challenges and you're not going to change bureaucracy quickly. It's very difficult to do that. But again, what you do is if you truly believe in something, I mean, candidly, I do believe in what we have here, and there's some unique contributions that we can make to national security. But I tell you, sometimes, breaking into some of those areas in the market's difficult. But you got to persist, and it's the right thing to do. And certainly in my community, we don't have, the word quit is not necessarily in there. And actually, we don't like the word lose either. And so I think you have to persist, and you have to kind of stick to your, stick to what you truly believe in. In the other area, in a productive environment, I think it's important that you value your people, you empower your people. My business people has always been in special operations is, people are the most important asset we have. And it's the same here. The people in the organization here, I have a lot of respect for them, and they are the most important asset. And that's what I think we have to use, but we just have to persist. We have to believe in what we're doing. The Navy piece comes out in me, honor, courage, and commitment. You got to do things that are moral, ethical, and legal. And that underscores, kind of the way I act, I believe. But I think that those, empower people and give them, and encourage them. And I think I'm confident it will meet with success, but it will take persistence. It will take patience. But if you believe in it, I think you just gotta keep after it and kind of stick to your guns, so to speak.
What's been the biggest adjustment transitioning from the uniform to the suit, as it were?
I guess I have to turn the light on when I put my hand in the closet to pull my clothes out. So that's one adjustment. I didn't used to have to do that because it was the same thing
every
day. I you know what? It's been a pretty not too bad. I mean, I think you can't look back. You have to look forward. I think when you leave the military, and I looked for, and fortunately, Mark Testoni, the president, offered me kind of a unique opportunity. I wasn't really interested in working. Right away I was going to take it easy, but it was he created an environment where I could kind of come in. They had some things that I thought that was really an opportunity to make a difference, and so same thing. There's a mission here. I just had to change my focus to the mission. I mean, I miss a lot of the people, as you might know, in special operations and certainly in naval special warfare in the SEAL community. I mean, we have very, very close personal relationships. I mean, 90% of any of our casualties I knew personally, probably. And so that, leaving those types of people is difficult. But again, I think I found a place that has it's a great, great environment with some really good people that are very welcoming and, very committed to, they're committed, and it's nice being around people that are committed to a mission. And so that's helped me kind of transition. And candidly, the best way is don't think too much about it. Take those good lessons learned from being in the military and adjust them and tailor them to the environment I'm in now. But, so far it's been really enjoyable.
And I'm sure you want to beat Army as much as you always have, right, sir?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's never, like I say, I cheer for Army every game they play except one.
Thank you very much for being on the program today, sir.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the opportunity, Francis.
Great to talk to you, Navy Vice Admiral Joe Kernan, retired Vice President of Business Development at SAP National Security Services. You can hear my conversation with him later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.